Lots of messages in the Bible you don't hear on Sunday with all these condemnation preachers. Why are you beating on your ass these three times, pervert? Now, where I was when I started to develop this subject. What did God do this for? He didn't need this story. He didn't need to talk to the ass. When you come to that 31st verse, and the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord, and he fell prostrate. Why didn't God short-circuit the ass? Why didn't he just open the eyes of Balaam going out the gate? You need all this ass beating and perversion and all these hauling ass, seeing ass, throwing ass. What are you going to do that for? Now, all of you traditional Christians that have shut the doors and shut the windows and fallen in prayer for me while you couldn't turn it off. If God had left that ass out, I wouldn't have had this fun tonight. And he didn't need it. He really didn't need it. Do you agree with me that the talking ass had very little impact on Balaam? That's the amazing thing about the story. That ass didn't move him at all. That's why I asked earlier, what would arouse this guy? If God used the ass to get Balaam's attention, it didn't work. The angel, the minute it appeared, or the minute Balaam saw the angel, he got prostrate in a hurry. Why then? Is God so stupid that he thought the ass talking would work? Why? Oh God, my face is going to revolve in a minute, and I've got to try to explain this to a new audience. Why go through this little drama of the ass? Didn't do anything for Balaam. Why didn't God avoid this embarrassing scene? Why didn't he, in his omniscience, anticipate that Scott would read this on national television? And just leave it out. Didn't need it. I warn you.
Yes,
sir. Understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
It was an unnecessary intro. What in the hell did he do it for? I'll be right back.
You know, the question is, to all those people that joined us right now, and it's a whole bunch of people. My Lord. Hartford, Nashville. Thank God New York City came in 30 minutes ago. Richmond, Virginia. How do I introduce them to such an amazing ass? Not me. Don't you dare do that. The one I've been talking about for 30 minutes. Show a little respect now. I mean, I've been 30 minutes describing the most amazing ass in the world. And here comes a whole bunch of people that know nothing of this ass. I'm going to have to catch this ass quick. Because I have been on it for 3 nights and I'm not going to go on it another night. 4 is the number that covers the whole world and I'm finished with this ass. Tonight you're going to get it or not at all. There's a thing. What's going on now? Lord, help us. Don't turn me off now.
Yes.
God do this? That's the question. I know I'm stringing it out. You that just joined us will say what? The story is about Balaam's talking ass, and it did nothing to get Balaam straightened out. Not a thing. It talked. He didn't listen. He didn't listen. Then God opened the eyes of Balaam, let him see an angel. Same angel he asked, saw first. All it took was one side of the angel to get Balaam properly oriented. The point is, God didn't need the ass sequence. What did he put this ass sequence in for? You remember a hole in a hula bar? A hula bar? God's dirty story. It's awful. What he said those two sisters did down in Egypt and what they continue to do. But what's really awful, and very few people study the Bible closely enough to know, it's the whole thing's made up. God's lying on Israel and on Judah. Now, I'm down in the Bible Belt. If this doesn't blow their theological teeth out tonight, nothing will. God told a dirty story through Ezekiel, and the whole thing was made up. He said Ahola and Aholabah, Ahola Samaria, and Aholabah is Jerusalem. He ultimately identifies it. And said all they did down in Jerusalem, down in Egypt, was ding around. And they got so good at it and learned it so well, they never quit. And they were still up to their old tricks. Then it's interpreted. They didn't ding around. What an awful thing for God to tell on you when you didn't do it. They didn't do it. They worshipped idols. But he calls them playing the harlot. And man, it's an X-rated chapter, double X. And he vividly describes the way they did it. And they didn't do it. What they did was worship idols. What am I saying? God's very dramatic. He said, Isaiah, I want to have you demonstrate my word to these citizens of Jerusalem. I want you to tell them what I'm going to do to the Ethiopians, if they really care. And I'm going to have you tell them what I'm going to do to the Ethiopians so they can see when it happens, I told you so. Then maybe they'll listen to me when I tell you to tell them what I'm going to do to them. He says, now this is the way you're going to give the message. You take off your clothes, and you walk and you preach naked in the city of Jerusalem and all around it. He uses the word buttocks, because we know the King James was written on Sinai. God's original language before Babel. Now come on, stay with me. How many of you know, all these evangelists every Sunday are good at telling us how perfect they are and how sinful we are, which I admit. They obey God and we don't. How many of you really believe if God told Jerry Falwell to preach in Lynchburg naked for 3 years, he'd do it? Believe he'd do it as a testimonial to his hatred to abortion, which he's dumping on everybody about.
Now, do you see Jimmy Swaggart in one of his big campaigns?
I can't. I really can't. But I can imagine. You see Jimmy Swaggart, you know how he walks back and forth. You know, there are people down in the Bible Belt believe that what I'm saying is not even the Bible.
I'm going to let you get away with that. Let's go over to Ezekiel. I got to prove it.
I got people reading the Bible, haven't read it in 20 years. Chapter 23 of Ezekiel, page 920. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, you say, have you got a point for what you're doing? You just wait. You'll see. Just wait. You'll see. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, son of man, there were two women, the daughters of one mother. And they committed bleepdoms in Egypt. They committed bleepdoms in their youth. There were their bleeps bleeped, and there they bleeped the bleeps of their virginity. You want to know what the bleeps are? Page 920. Ezekiel 23, chapter 23. And the names of them were Aholah the elder, and Aholibah her sister. And they were mine, and they bare sons and daughters. Thus were their names. Samaria is Aholah. That's the 10 tribe kingdom to the north, that at the time Ezekiel was written, was beginning to be called Samaria, because the 6th king Omri had moved the capital to Samaria, so they called it Samaria. God saw them as two people from the time the birthright was divided at the mouth of Jacob, clear down in Egypt. Samaria is Aholah, a Jerusalem Aholibah, and Aholah played the harlot when she was mine. And she doted on her lovers. Thus, verse 7, she committed her bleepdoms with them. 8, neither left she her bleepdoms brought from Egypt, for in her youth they lay with her. Kind of a modern way to put it. And they bruised the bleeps of her virginity and poured their bleepdom upon her. That's a dirty story. It's a terrible story. Porno story. And it didn't happen. Just plain bald-faced lie. They didn't do that. Why would God tell a story like that on them? Why didn't he just spell it out? Why didn't he have Ezekiel? You know, Ezekiel couldn't preach this sermon and just about any church in America. I'll guarantee you, very few of you have seen the whoredom of Aholah and Aholibah on any church bulletin board as the sermon of the morning. What in the world did God do a thing like this for? Why didn't he just have Ezekiel spell it out? You learned your habits of worshiping idols down in Egypt. You never stopped doing it. Send your pastor up the hill 40 days and bang, associate pastor Aaron has got you worshiping a golden calf again. You're still doing it. You never have stopped what you started down in Egypt, worshiping idols, and I hate you for it. I'm not stupid. Anybody can understand it. Why does he dramatize it like this and tell a dirty story and analogize whoredom to idolatry? Well, okay, but I don't believe that preacher run around naked. I'll show you. You know, no sense in you having to stay up all night and try to find these. 20th chapter of Isaiah, page 773, if you got a Bible like mine. 20th chapter of Isaiah. In the year that Tartan came unto Ashdod, when Sargon the king of Assyria sent him and fought against Ashdod and took it, at the same time spake the Lord by Isaiah the son of Amos, saying, go and loose the sackcloth from off thy loins and put off the shoe from thy feet. And he did so, walking naked and barefoot. And the Lord said, like as my servant Isaiah hath walked naked and barefoot 3 years. 3 whole years. I mean, one side of a naked preacher ought to stay with you for a lifetime. He's parading around for 3 years. like as my servant. God then uses his nakedness as the springboard now for the lesson. Like as my servant Isaiah hath walked naked and barefoot 3 years for a sign and wonder upon Egypt and upon Ethiopia. Sign and wonder it would be. So shall the king of Assyria lead away the Egyptians prisoners and the Ethiopians captives, young and old, naked and barefoot, even with their buttocks uncovered, to the shame of Egypt. Why couldn't God just say what he was going to say? Say, Isaiah, go down there and stand on the pedestal there in the courtyard of the temple and say, you want to know what I'm going to do to the Egyptians and the Ethiopians? I'm going to take them captive and make them walk stripped and naked. But no. He makes Isaiah the preacher, respected as the most profound Old Testament prophet of the suffering Messiah concept. He makes him walk naked. I'm not kidding with you tonight. We're having fun. I have a very serious point. Not very many Christians today that do what they do because they're convinced God wants them to do it. 99% of Christianity, I don't care how uncomfortable it makes those that listen to me, 99% of you are doing what you do to please other Christians. You've never come to the position that Paul came to, henceforth let no man trouble me. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Stigmata is the word in the Greek, the brand placed in the body of a bond slave, identifying him to a particular master. The reason the world doesn't respect most of the Christianity they see, they're smart enough to figure out what it is. Role playing for spiritual self-imagery from self or from fellow Christians. That's one point. It is pretty drastic. I don't know very many preachers today who brag of their obedience. I don't even know if Gene do that one. Gene, display thyself. Lord, I'll pass. You know, I could preach all night on that subject because that's one of the concerns I have, to make people stop and ask themselves, why am I doing what I'm doing? I really think all this is necessary to get to heaven. Am I really convinced that this is as important to God as it is my fellow Christians? Or are you caught in the command that sets you free? Be not the servants of men. You're bought with a price. The crusade of this church is to restore some sanity and some individuality and some realization there'll never be another you. And God's covered all of us. I talk to thousands of people every night, many of whom have been cashiered out of a church because some pot-bellied deacon decided if you weren't in his image, God wouldn't accept you. Only one person is your judge. And Paul nailed it down when he said, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. And to justify is to treat you as though you are just, even though you're not. To treat you as though you're just like God when you're not. It's God that justifies. He credits our trusting faith and strikes the list of sins out and puts on it righteousness, credits our faith. Is it Christ? He died for us. Tired of the guilt trip and the condemnation and the bondage. I'm trying to point out God doesn't fit the box. Most preachers can't preach God's word because God will embarrass them. He just isn't going to fit into their little mold. Secondarily, God's an attention getter. I'm tired of the Bible being made dull. I'm tired of Christianity sleeping through the most wasted hour of the week. while some overstuffed cow bellows at you a bunch of non-entities. With some little rubber woman sitting there saying, "Yes, dear." All right, God. I bet he could hold attention in a bar that wouldn't let him in a church. He tells dirty stories. He didn't need the ass bit. But it got our attention. I mean, I got people reading number 23, number 22, and never would have read it. Matter with being a little bit colorful, a little bit exciting. You know what my pet peeve is about these rubber women peddle off to us on TV as necessary to the communication of the gospel? Any woman that would marry a husband as dull as theirs is too stupid to talk to me, so they're both canceled out. I mean, the most exciting subject on the air should be God and His Word. Yeah. Plus the fact, you gotta hand it to God. He makes an ass attractive. Now, with the attention gotten, we can listen to this heathen. Through Balaam, God gave some of His most amazing promises. It's Balaam that said that oft-quoted promise, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" Numbers 23:19. But that heathen in that one sentence does better preaching than I've heard in the last 10 years of television evangelists. A heathen. And he lays down some promises that enable us to ask the question I've been asking on all of them. I'm up to promise number 38, 39, and 40, and 41. Before we go to the great promise about the pyramid, people say, "Is the pyramid in the Bible?" I'm going to show you. And like so many of the promises, we have to ask the question, where were they carried out? If the traditional interpretation is true, all the promises given to Abraham and his people are fulfilled in the Jew, the church, and Christ. Well, when did the Jew, the church, or Christ become a community of nations? When did the Jew, the church, or Christ, with horns of power, push the peoples to the ends of the earth? When did the Jew, the church, or Christ possess the gates of their enemies? When did the Jew, the church, or Christ become a powerful nation, never defeated? And once again, this heathen Balaam, when the ass and the angel together get done talking to him, goes to Balak, and Balak says, "Curse these Israelites. How can I curse what God has not cursed?" They go from hilltop to hilltop and kill bullock after bullock, make sacrifice after sacrifice, and this heathen Balak, the son of Zippor, tries to get this Balaam to say what he once said. Balaam will only speak what God tells him to speak, and adds to the list of those promises that force you to say, either God did not carry out His word, or these promises are directed to someone other than the Jew, the church, and Christ. And isn't that our subject? Okay, you want to know what promise 38 is? I'll be right back. Now, I've been going an hour and 22 minutes. I'm not going to ride that ass anymore. The point has been made. God will not fit our nifty little traditional molds. He does not wear well-coiffed hair just because, and three-piece suits, and never do anything other than be dull. He tells dirty stories. He sends his preachers on a naked stroll. And he talks through an ass. He gets our attention when we'll let God come through with the life and the vitality that's there.
but he has something to say. He lays some promises down that let a thinking man say, if God can do this, then he must be in control. And if God can move the destinies of the nations, as these promises indicate, then just maybe he can take care of me and take care of you. And in the confusion of time and history, maybe the best place to put my grip is to reach up through that stuff called eternity and grab the promises that reach to me and say, damn what it looks like, I'm going to hang on to them. And I'm telling you, that'll do more to put you connected to the saving life of God than all this other crap they're laying on you. So at this point, I'm going to pick up with the promises again. Didn't we have fun with the ass? Now, the preachers I grew up would never entertain me like this before they gave me their message. But God did. I'd rather read him any day than listen to most preachers. The songs I want to know. If I don't have an audience, I go no further. I gave up on teaching tonight about 40 minutes ago. Let's get this job done. Come on, Bay City. You just joined us. That ain't it. That's Amazing Grace. We don't want Amazing Grace. We did it anyway. If I called for the same song, I didn't want it. We did it anyway. Because we're going to do it again in 87. I've heard all the saxophone I want to hear now. We did it anyway.
Yeah. One day Noah had a meeting with folks in his hometown. Chosen all of you for very special service and much important too. He's given me a blueprint of something quite unique, something that will save our lives and lift us. Yeah.
were 10,617,000. Now, when we get into the sixes, you know what you're supposed to do, don't you? What are you sitting around for? $1,500 from Torrance, California. Lots of calls from Dallas. Delighted that we're contemplating more hours. 700 in 1987. We love you in Dallas. Dallas says 4,000 from Mesquite, Texas. I'm thankful for the extra teaching time. Long Beach, 1,200. Tulsa's here, 4,000. Arlington, Texas. Hell yes, we'll watch him 24 hours. We'll be glad to have him around the clock. Vernon, Connecticut, 1,100. Guys are off key. Shut up. Even God couldn't sing when you're doing that. Well, I might have gone fishing. Shall we? Get over here. Where are you guys? Get over here. You're off beat, too. Can't do anything right tonight. Mimi, well, I might have gone fishing. I got to thinking it over. That road to the river. It's a mighty long way. Oh, well, it must be the season. Ain't no rhyme or no reason.
No rhyme or no reason.
out of my way.
Stay out of my way.
A little deep thinking.
A little deep thinking.
It'll drive me to drinking.
Will drive me to drinking.
Take it easy.
Just take it easy.
It's my lazy. That water's killing me.
It's my lazy day.
Oh, well, I might have gone fishing.
Might have gone fishing.
I got to thinking it over.
Till he comes down here and plays jazz piano.
Yeah.
I figured if I'd sing, that'd give anybody the courage to do anything. Huh? The sun out shining? I thought we did that one. Get Wyman down here.
Well, the sun is out shining.
The sun is out shining. Steeped in sin.
Well, I said,